I was born in Canada on a dairy farm up there, and my dad brought me and my whole family to here when we moved here when I was about 6 years old. Now, there's an old saying that goes, you can take the boy from the farm, but you can't take the farm out of the boy, right? We've all heard that before. Well, with my dad, that rings true. And I'll tell you what that I mean by that. And that's basically, once you're big enough to walk, you're basically big enough to work. That was something that my dad's mentality was and is very farmer-like in that as well. So often what would happen when we had work projects going on here at the church or different things happening, my older brother and myself got recruited to be the grunt labor, if you will, for those projects. And I remember specifically this one time we were digging a ditch for some plumbing lines and different things like that. And my dad pitched it to us. Okay, guys, we've got to go to work today. So we're like, okay, we'll go. So we followed him over to work. And then he handed us both a shovel, and as was his MO in those days, basically said, okay, I want it this wide, this deep, this long. I'll see you guys later. And he'd go do something else. So he went off to do something else. So we were there digging. And I remember this particular day, my brother and I were both complaining vigorously about it. We're like, this isn't fair. Why do we always end up having to do these terrible jobs and, you know, digging, doing it? And then what he would come back and check on us, and then we'd complain to him about it, say, Dad, this isn't fair. And he used this one line that he had said many times before, and he continued to say throughout my childhood. And I always bugged me. I always hated it. He said, one day, John, you'll thank me for these opportunities. One day, guys, you'll thank me for these opportunities. And I remember we would grumble even more between each other about that and say, there's no way we'll thank him for digging a ditch. Anybody could do this. This is something we'll never be grateful for. And then there was another time where I was doing a shingling job with my dad up on a roof for a family that was in need in the church. We helped them out. You know, so we're volunteering doing the shingling job. And again, it was a hot, muggy day, like in the middle of August when it's always hot and nasty. And I'm complaining to him saying, Dad, why do we always get roped into this? This isn't fair. None of our friends have to go to work like this. Why do we have to do this? And he looked at me and said that famous line, John, one day you'll thank me for this opportunity. And I can't think of a specific time that I've gone to him and said, Dad, I really thank you for those terrible experiences I had. But I will say, what I do realize now that I'm 30 years old now, and I'm looking back and saying, you know what, it was those experiences that helped prepare me for what I was walking into, for the lifestyle of hard work, for a lifestyle of not being afraid to get my hands dirty, of not being afraid to do a job that nobody else was willing to do. And it's that those jobs, that mentality that my dad put into me that has led me to the success that I have today in the different areas and stuff. And I tell you this story, I share all this, because it is the same for us in God. That there are times we're going through situations and we're complaining, we're upset, we're saying, God, why am I going through this? This isn't fair. I can't stand this. And God's looking down saying, one day you'll thank me for this. Because he sees 5 years down the road. He sees 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road. And he knows that what you're going through in this moment is going to prepare you for what you need to do those 5, 10, 20, 30 years later down the road. And it's something that he's with you every step of the way. And even though we might find it difficult in the moment, it's something that's worthwhile because God's preparing us for what he has for us in the future. Now, that's what I want to talk in today. And I want to dive into a scripture. We're going to turn to Mark chapter 9. And I'm titling this sermon, Called In to Go Out. We're called in to go out. And that's the main theme of what we're going with. And I just want you to flip. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Mark chapter 9. It'll be up on the screen. I do apologize in advance. I'm an NIV guy, so I'm reading out of the NIV. I believe on the screen you're going to see it's New King James Version. So follow along the best you can with that. So we're going to start at verse 2. And it says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there he appeared before them, Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say because he was so afraid. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. Now, I love this story. And right in the first verse we read, it talks about how Jesus selected Peter, James, and John. He chose them. He called them, if you will, to follow him. And it says that he led them up a high mountain. Now, what I like about this is it indicating that it was a high mountain shows that there was some effort involved. There was some sacrifice, some struggle, if you will, to get to the place that God wanted them to be so he could reveal more of his glory to them. And this applies to us today as well, that there is effort involved in receiving what God has for us. That God wants to reveal his plans, his purposes, his reasons for why we're going through things to us. But sometimes we have to follow Jesus to that difficult point, that hard place, in order to receive it, in order to experience it. So that's what jumps out at me right at the start where it says that Jesus led them up there. So they get up to the top. And they're probably joking about who forgot to bring lunch with them, you know, but it doesn't matter because Jesus will just turn stones into bread or something. And then all of a sudden, Jesus gets transfigured in front of them. Now, transfigured is a word that means transformed to something of higher beauty or elevation. So we don't know exactly what he looked like, but we do know his clothes got super bright white, his face shone. There was a lot of physical change that went on. And then all of a sudden, Elijah and Moses shows up too. Now, this is pretty cool. So all of a sudden, Peter is in amazement of this. And I believe lots of us can relate to this too. When we experience the presence of God, we respond often like Peter did, where we just want to camp out. We want to stay in that moment because when you experience the presence of God in a real and tangible way, it feels safe. It feels secure. You feel such love like you've never felt before when you're in that sweet presence of God. So Peter chirps up and says basically, Jesus, this is great that all three of you are here. Let me build a shelter for you. Let me build a shelter for Moses. Let me build a shelter for Elijah. And we'll just stay right here forever. We never have to leave. This will be great. And all of a sudden, you know, he's kind of turning into like Oprah here, right? You get a house. You get a house. You get a house. So, right? So he's saying, you know, let's build a shelter for everybody here because he didn't want to leave. And as I say, this is something I can relate to. I get it that Peter just wanted to stay there. But the reason all of this happened, and we see this indicated by what God does next, where God envelops him in a cloud, and God speaks to Peter through the cloud. He says, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him or obey him. And then it all disappears. It all vanishes. Everything's gone immediately. And what jumps out at me with this is that the whole reason that all happened was to prepare those three disciples for what God had next for them. And this is how our lives are too. When God shows up, it's not just to give us goosebumps. It's not just to make us feel loved and secure, although that is a part of it. But it's always to prepare us for the next step that he has for us. It's always to lead us to that next level that he has for us to operate in. And that's the same for Peter. And it's interesting, if we look back just a chapter before this, Peter has this revelation of who Jesus is, that he is the Christ, he is the Son of God. You know, and Jesus then, right after that, says to him, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven did. So God gave you this revelation. And then all of a sudden, immediately, about six lines down from there, Jesus goes on to say, I'm going to be murdered, I'm going to be crucified, and I'll be buried, and I'm going to rise again from the dead. And Peter immediately grabs Jesus, pulls him aside, says, Jesus, this will never happen on my watch. You'll never be killed. I will protect you until my last breath, basically. And Jesus looks him in the eye and says, get behind me, Satan. Even though his intentions were right, what he was saying was against what God wanted. Because as we know as Christians, Jesus had to be crucified so that we could have redemption in him, so we could receive eternal life, that the blood sacrifice had to be offered. So Peter didn't have the things of God in mind. And then right after that is where this story takes place. And we see a thread from here on out through this section of scripture up until Jesus' crucifixion. And also in the account of Matthew, it just follows the same line. That we see this thread of Jesus preparing his disciples for his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That he's preparing them for this next step. And that's why Peter, James, and John had to experience Jesus in this way. To realize he is who he says he is. It's not just he performs miracles, but God spoke to me. He's told me that Jesus is who he said he is. And I want to encourage you today that when we're called in, we enter into God's presence so that we are prepared for the next step that God has for us. That we're called in to be filled up. We're called in to be full so that we can pour out again. It's similar to a vessel. And back in the Old Testament, we see in Jeremiah that we're compared to a vessel being fashioned by the potter's hands. Right? So the potter's fashioning this vessel. And in Bible times specifically, all of the pottery and different things they had purpose. You know, now we kind of put decorative pieces around and different things like that. But back then, they were always had some sort of practical use to it, that they were designed to be filled up so they could be poured out somewhere else, that you would fill up a jar of water from the well so you could have it in a house so when somebody needed to wash their hands or feet or have a drink, it was there available to be poured out to. This is exactly what God wants to do with us, that we are vessels to be used for his purposes, that we would come into his presence, be filled up so we could go out into the world and pour out into the sick and dying world that needs his love, his security, his acceptance, that we would be able to transport all of that of him to the world. And he's chose to use us as that conduit to do it. It's such a privileged position we have that he gave us to do this. Again, I think of it similar to a football huddle. I know football season is starting soon. I know some people are excited about that. But when everybody gets together in a huddle, it's not to give the person goosebumps. It's not to make them feel good or anything like that. It's to get your marching orders for the next play. It's so that they know who's running where and where the ball's getting thrown to, so that everybody can be on the same page to accomplish the task at hand, the next play. And that's how God is with us, that he wants to welcome us in so that we can go out and do the work that needs done. But it is also, we get the benefits of going in to be filled and to be experience that love, experience that tangible touch, just like the disciples did. They had this awesome experience here on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they were able to take that with them into the following days. It's so cool, so cool. Now, just during worship, I had this illustration come to mind that I want to share just for a quick minute. I believe this is for somebody specifically here. As Bucky was singing that song, Forgiven, God reminded me of a situation in my life that when I was quite young, I felt called by God to be a pastor, that was something I was going to pursue. And many of you have heard that story. I'm not going to tell that one again. But I knew God had called me to it. And then as time went on over the next few months, years, I would be in church services and a guest speaker would be speaking or something. And then he'd point right at me and say, God's called you to be a pastor. And I always took that as great confirmation because I already knew that too. But it was wonderful that God cared enough about me to confirm that word. I remember one time in particular, I was on a mission trip to New York City at NYSEM. And this very animated speaker was going back and forth telling us about orientation. He was explaining how we approach homeless people on the streets and different things like that. So he's marching back and forth, explaining it to us, getting very excited. And then he stops mid-stride and he looks right at me and points at me. And he says, God just told me that you're called to be a pastor. And I remember it was just these certain key moments as I just went about God's business that he confirmed his word in these different ways. And I remember years later, after all of that happened, there were days that I would doubt. I would question. I said, God, after what I just did, I don't deserve to be a pastor anymore. I don't deserve this calling. I can't qualify because of what just happened and all of this. And God would remind me that I wasn't called because I deserved it. I wasn't called because I was qualified. I was called because God chose me. And there is somebody here that God's placed a calling, a purpose on your life, and you're questioning it. You're doubting it. You're saying, after what I did, I got to be disqualified. I don't even get how God would choose me. And I'm telling you, just as that song says, we're forgiven, you are forgiven. That blood has cleansed you. Your conscience can be clear because God has a plan and a purpose for you. And it's not that you deserve it. It's not that you've earned it, but because God's chosen you for it. I recommend you hold on to that word because we're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. And that's why God confirmed that word for me in my life, that there were times that I doubted. There were times I felt inadequate, insecure in it. But God confirms his word so that we do carry on, so that we're prepared for what he's going to do next in our lives. That's why he calls us, not because it gets easier, because it is hard. It is a battle that we have to fight. But we need to stand firm in what he's told us to do and that we would move along in that. So my next point here is I want to talk about that coming in is always worth it. It's always worth it. And this is something I believe if I took a poll, everybody here would agree. Coming into the presence of God is always worth it. But yet life gets busy, you know, we get distracted, there's all kinds of things, and we find ourselves not necessarily taking the time to come into the presence of God. So I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And again, they'll put it up on the screen. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 19 down through 24. And it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." We can have confidence approaching God because of what he did on the cross for us. That Jesus died, and once he died, he put his head down and said, "It is finished." And in that moment, literally as soon as it happened, it's recorded in the Bible, that the curtain of the temple was ripped in two. Now, that curtain of the temple was very symbolic. That curtain separated the sacred from the secular, separated the presence of God from the rest of the world. And what that symbolized when that was torn in two is that God's presence was then allowed out, and rather that we were allowed into the presence of God without blood of animals, without sacrifices, without having to be appropriate, that at any time in our life we could enter into the presence of God through the blood of Jesus. That once we've asked Jesus into our lives, once we've given our lives over to him, that we can enter his presence on a moment's notice. You don't have to come to the temple. You don't have to come to a church building to enter the presence of God. But rather, you are free and available to enter into the presence of God on any moment that you desire. Whether you're at home, you're at work, you're dealing with a family situation, whatever it is. And even better than that, you're invited into the presence of God. You've already been invited, and he loves spending time with you. That's why Jesus died on the cross, was to give you the opportunity to have an everlasting relationship with God. And this is how we are going to strike up revival. I know Pastor Vic spoke on revival last week here. And some of you experienced the presence of God last week when you responded to that altar call here at the altar. Some of you experienced it in a real and personal way. But I'm telling you today, a church service isn't going to do it. It's got to be a lifestyle change for us. It's got to be a daily encounter that we're choosing to go in to God's presence, being filled full of him, and then going and pouring out. We can't be like the Dead Sea where water just pours in and stays stagnant in it, but rather that we're taking in and pouring out. Otherwise, we're not fulfilling what God has designed us to do, because we're to transport, we're to be conduits for his presence, for his glory. And as we're transferring what he fills us with to the rest of the world, we're going to experience more and more of him because we have to go back in to get filled. And this is something we need to do on a regular basis, is going in so we can go back out, coming in to go back out again. And this is something God's put so strongly on my heart. And with that being said, I was praying and asking God just about possibly doing an altar call even this morning. And I really feel strongly not to do it this morning. And what I would rather do is challenge you as individuals that you make this a lifestyle. That you would say, you know what, it's not just one church service that is going to make a difference, but rather I need to choose to put time aside in my life, whether it's morning or night, afternoon, whatever works in your schedule, that you can schedule time to pursue the presence of God, to go in so that you can be filled up, so that you can go into those hard circumstances, so you can be prepared for the next step, but so you can also go out and pour into others. This is something that is so essential for us as believers, is that we constantly have that well-worn path to the cross and then back to the world where, you know, we're being filled and then dumping what God has put into us into the world that we live in. With that being said, I want to invite you just to stand to your feet as I close in prayer. This is something that I've seen a thread through the past few series that have gone on here at the church. If you remember, last week Pastor Vic talked about revival, and that encompasses so much of just going into the presence of God and letting Him touch and change us and work out those issues in our hearts. Then before that, my father spoke on the wedding banquet and how God just desired to invite everybody in, but few are chosen, which means few choose to enter in as well. And let us be the few that do choose to enter in, amen? Let us choose to make that our lifestyle, that we accept the invitation and go in. And then even a few weeks before that, look, the last time I spoke, it was on, we're called for a who and not a what, where Joshua was trying to figure out what to do to take on Jericho. And then God said, take off your shoes. Hang out with me, basically. And God's inviting us today to do the same thing. Spend time with me so I can show you the great things I've got for you. So I can show you the plans and purposes, because we're only going to realize those as we're entering in and then going back out and entering in and going back out. With that being said, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for today, for this opportunity to be here with you, God, to enter into your presence. I ask that you help us to make this a lifestyle, that you would show us where we can schedule it in, where we can fit it in, that you would keep your promise that as we draw near to you, you will draw near to us, that it will be worth it every time, even if we don't feel it, even if we don't sense it in that moment, that you are working behind the scenes to prepare us for the next thing you have for us, God. We thank you, and we're so grateful that we have free access to you, that we can approach you at any time, that we don't have to go through a ceremony or anything like that to approach you, to enter your presence. But just like your children, we can run into your arms and say, Dad, what do you have for me? What do you have for me? Lord, I ask that you bless each and every person here. Help us to make this a lifestyle each and every day in our lives. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you